of heaven, the encouragement of heaven, the reminder of heaven. We should have that always in our minds. But part of human nature, when things are difficult, when things are harder, it's more there, and that's fine. I think that's part of God's design of the way our brains work, that we cling to the promises when times are bad. So today I want to remind you some of the blessings of heaven. We're going to look at three things. I've got a number of scriptures that we'll look at. I want to first remind us, of course, and this is particularly apt as we are thinking about things that might, John's passing last week, that first of all, the blessing of heaven will be reunited with loved ones. So we read 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. I said we'd read this. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who do not have hope or who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. And that last line in particular is particularly striking to me. Encourage one another with these words. What are we thinking about? This is the classic text on the subject, in some ways maybe a cliched scripture, but it's a classic text because it's so powerful, right? Poignant in the light of, especially for the Dewey Church of Christ, John's passing. But at this time in particular, I don't know how much of the I don't know how much COVID has really affected members of the church. I don't know if there's any people out there who are recording that or tracking that, but it is going to happen, right? And we are ultimately, I think, going to be affected by this. Hopefully not, but probably, possibly even lose loved ones, right? Because of this pandemic, this idea that in heaven we will be reunited, all of us together. And what is he saying, right? People died and they were worried they're not going to be in heaven, but you'll see them again. Jesus is going to come back. Everybody's going to be taken up into the air. So we will always be with the Lord. I think about the tornado that impacted Tennessee. Is that a month ago, maybe? Feels like forever ago, right? But that tornado that impacted Tennessee, people who lost loved ones, so many loved ones lost. And yet we know, right, that they'll be back. We'll all go to be with Jesus when he returns. And that's a blessing. That should be a comfort as we think about the difficult times that we're in now. It's designed to be a comfort. That's why the text was in the Bible, right? Therefore, encourage one another with these words. So the first blessing of heaven, the first thing that we see, the first thing that we're reminded of is ultimately we will be reunited with our loved ones, those who have gone on before. The second point that I want to make is that in heaven, we will have new knowledge and understanding. I'm very encouraged by this in particular, the idea of perfect understanding. 1 Corinthians 13:8-12, love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. Now, to be clear, I think this passage has a dual meaning, right? Part of this passage is talking about the coming of the new covenant, the covenant coming of the better covenant. But Paul did not know fully at this point. He was a prophet. He had revelation. He had knowledge. He had special, specific, unique spiritual knowledge, and yet he did not know fully then. He's still looking for a future time when he would know fully. Now, at the moment that he's writing 1 Corinthians, which again, still part of the new covenant, then he knew in part, but he will know fully in the future. And I cannot wait to know fully. There's a lot of things I wonder about, a lot of things that I have questions about. Classic example, why coronavirus? I don't know. Nobody knows. But I will know eventually. Maybe I won't care, but I'll know. Why did John die? There's no way for me to know that now. And I can't possibly know that now. But I will eventually know, and I'll understand. And again, maybe I won't care about the answer because I'll be reunited with him, but I'll know it. And there's a lot of comfort in that. We could read another scripture. We'll read one more in 1 Corinthians 3:10-13. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. He's, of course, talking about himself and the other prophets, the other apostles, Apollos, Aquila and Priscilla. They were building the church on the work of others. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest. For the day, and the ESV has day capitalized there. Why? The day of the Lord, when the Lord returns, that most important of days. The day will disclose it because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. Oops. What are we going to know when we get to heaven? We'll know how our work, how our lives affected the kingdom. There's a lot of stuff we do for the kingdom now. We're trying to encourage one another. We're building one another. We're teaching one another. We're lifting one another up. We're doing all of these things. And sometimes it feels like it's pointless. It feels like it's not accomplishing anything. I think about this today. This is a little microcosm of this idea. I'm preaching a sermon to a camera. I have no idea how it's affecting people. Hopefully I'll know tomorrow or later today. But there's a lot of work I do throughout the week. There's stuff you do for the Lord throughout the week. There's people in your life that you're trying to influence, you're trying to impact, you're trying to build up. There's people that we're trying to encourage at church. And there are a lot of times when we do not know the impact of that. We don't know the impact of our effort. And it feels like the things that we're doing are not accomplishing anything. But what is this text reminding us? It will be manifest. It will be made known. The day will disclose it. When we get to heaven, we get to that final day, the day when Jesus returns, you won't have to wonder, how did what I do affect people? How are my efforts beneficial? Now, there is a implied warning in that too, right? This text is a warning, ultimately. Because it will be made known, it will be made manifest. Make sure that you're doing good things now. But make sure that if you're doing good things and it doesn't seem like it's accomplished anything, rest assured the benefit of what you're doing, the blessing to the kingdom of what you're doing, will eventually be known. It will be manifest. You will understand how the things that you're doing were good for the kingdom, even though we're limited now and we're finite now and we don't understand now. We will understand these things eventually. And I'm very encouraged by that. Maybe that encourages people in my position more, but I don't think so. Because you're trying to teach your spouse or your coworker or your friend or your children. And I think about children too. We raise our children. We're trying to figure out if what we're doing is good. And we won't know that till much later. That's, again, another example of this. But that's how it's going to be in heaven. We'll finally understand the things that I did. Were they beneficial? Were they good? How did they help people? Finally, third point. Oops. And this is, I think, it's hard to say most relevant because the other two are really relevant too. Another relevant point. Revelation 21:1-4. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with men. I hear this idea of this loud voice. I don't want to blow up my speaker here. Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people. I'm affecting a voice. I don't know how it's going to sound. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. The former things. What are the former things? Tears, death, mourning, crying, pain, all those things. And I think another former thing, the separation of us and God, right? Now, not that we're separated from God, but I don't see God right now. He is spiritual in the ether somewhere, right? He's here right now, obviously, but I don't see him. I don't touch him. I can't. His presence is not tangible in that way. That's another former thing that's going to end. There's going to be no more pain and suffering. The suffering of death, the suffering of crying, the things that cause us crying, pain and fear and sorrow and trouble and losing your job and losing your house and maybe finding out you have a horrible disease. Maybe you have COVID-19. I don't know. Those things will end. And isn't that a wonderful thought? Amen? I don't know if you're saying amen. I hope you are. Let it be so. Verily, verily, no more suffering. It's hard to see that now. It's hard to think about that now. Because we're mired in the muck. And we are covered in the filth of our sin and our suffering and our difficulties. But we will not always be. There will be a better time eventually. Maybe tomorrow. I don't know. Maybe before I get done with this stream, I'm looking at a window right out here. Maybe I'll just see him appear in the heavens. Wouldn't that be awesome? Not yet. But someday. I want to read one more text because ultimately this is, right, only a comfort specifically for his people. And I want to encourage you. The odds of you watching this and not being a Christian are low. But if you have something that you're struggling with, some sin that you're struggling with, I'm doing my invitation partway through the sermon. If you are having something you're struggling with, something that's difficult, something, a sin that you have not overcome, a sin that you keep struggling with, then what? Make it right now. We had just on, what day was that? Friday, I think it was Friday, Debbie Matthews, she realized that her baptism had not been correct. She didn't have the proper understanding. She did not, she was not immersed into Christ in the way that was righteous. And you know what? Social distancing is important, but not as important as salvation. So we met at the building. It was her family and me and Tracy and Don and Pam were there, and she was immersed again. It wasn't really a conversion so much because she already believed in Christ. She'd believed in Christ for decades and decades. She already knew who Christ was, but she realized that she had not done something right in her relationship with God and that it needed to be fixed. And we fixed it. It was a matter of submission to righteousness, part of God's plan, that we be immersed into Christ for the repentance and the forgiveness of our sins, right? That's part of our salvation, is that we do that because Jesus has asked us to do that, and she did. And it was awesome, and it was wonderful. And it didn't have the same flavor as somebody who didn't know Christ 2 weeks ago who came to Christ, but you know what? It was just as important, wasn't it? Because she knew that there was something in her life that was separating her from God, and she wanted to be with God. And part of her motivation, I'm sure, was the first point, that we'll be reunited with loved ones. And that's okay. That's why those scriptures are in there, right? Is to motivate us. We're going to read one more scripture, Revelation 2:10. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. I don't think this text was specifically meant to specifically be about 21st century America. this text originally applied specifically to the churches of that day. But that does not mean it does not apply today, right? The devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. We're not being thrown into prison, but man, it kind of feels like it, right? It kind of feels like maybe I've been thrown in prison. Some of you will be tested for 10 days. What does that 10 days mean? Temporary. It's going to be a little bit of time, and it might seem like a long time, but it's ultimately temporary, right? Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. There is a comfort and a warning, a duality in that, isn't there? There's a duality in that verse, that if you are faithful, if you're being faithful, have comfort, have courage, be of good cheer, as he says in another place, because you will receive the crown of life. If you're not being faithful, you won't have that crown, right? So while we're separated, while we're isolated, social distancing, rest assured, there are things more important than that. And if you need help making things right with God, forget social distancing. We'll make it right with God. Because the suffering of this present time is not even worthy to be compared with the future glory. Right? Let's end with a prayer. God, we thank you for your word, the comfort that comes from the understanding of your promises. We ask you, please give us the faith, give us strength to remain faithful until you return eventually, or maybe until we die, whichever comes first. We're thankful that we have the assurance that we will see our loved ones again in heaven, those who have gone on before, who have been faithful to you. We're thankful for the example that they are to us, even in death, as we remember the things that they did and taught and said. We remember their example of faithfulness. Give us the strength to remain faithful as well. We're thankful for the promise of future understanding. While we may have doubts and wonder and worry here, please give us the peace that comes from knowing that we will know it eventually. And finally, we're thankful most of all for the sacrifice of your Son that frees us from the fear of death, because we know that in eternity we will be with you in a perfect existence, that we will have no more pain or suffering or crying or mourning, no more death because of what your Son did for us. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.